have a story to read to you, and I need so much time to read it to you. So, now, wasn't that easy lesson this week? Yay! A long time ago, I read a book that said, Jesus is on every page of Scripture. And I was a new believer, and I just thought, how can you see Jesus in all creation? But as I went along, I began to see, yes, indeed, he's in everything, he's created everything, and he is all of that to us. What an amazing God we have. The more I think about evolution, and the more I think about how man has destroyed God, you know, who are we? What arrogance. Okay, let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, I thank you for this precious word of God that you have put in our hands. And Lord, I'm so afraid we're not going to really appreciate it until perhaps it's taken away from us. So help us today to come to grips with who you are and the great creator you are. And I pray that for the story that I read, Lord, that it would make sense to everyone and we'd leave here within our thoughts and we'd realize just how close you are and just how much you want to answer our prayers. And you're an amazing God, and we give you much praise for that. Thank you, Lord, that you created it all and you have a purpose and you're going to take us home one day. And Lord, we look forward to that day when we're going to be in heaven with good bodies and we won't have to study anymore because we'll know your word and we'll know you. What an amazing thought. Bless us now, Lord. We need it in Jesus' name. Amen. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Science cannot understand light, much less explain how it came about. I mean, are you serious? And I said, yeah, I'm serious. My first husband was an electrical engineer, and he couldn't tell me, he could say what it did, but he couldn't tell me much about light, and that still hasn't changed. Light in itself, the reality of light was created on day one, and instantly it separated day from night. Physicists struggle to tell us about what light does, but about all they can tell us is it has waves and particles. Bottom line, light is a form of energy. And that's really nice on a cold day, isn't it? But it's essentially electromagnetic radiation. Now you all understand that, right? The more I got into it, the less I understood. But I can give you a little bit. And that includes long wave radiation, radio waves, microwaves. Did you know when you heat up your coffee in the microwave? That you're zapping it with light. Infrared waves, and they're all at the high end. And then you have on the low end, you have ultraviolet, and then you have X-rays and gamma. I'll say it right. Gamma radiation at the low end. And in the middle is visible light, including the entire rainbow of colors. Sometimes I just think about God and I think, man, you're so creative. You're just so creative. But the different colors are simply varying wavelengths of light. And the spectrum of white light, which we normally think of when we think of the word light, is not a pure color in itself. It's a combination of all of the colors. Have you ever played around with a little spectrum or one of those little crystal or any of those? It's really fun to see the light reflect off of it. Amazingly, light can't be seen by the human eye, except when it interacts with matter, beam, or dust particles. Okay, I could all invite you to my house, which is quite dusty. And when it's dark, I'll turn on my flashlight and show you. All the little particles in the air, dust. Perhaps nothing in all of physics is more fascinating or more mysterious than light. Just think of that. You know, we think we're so smart and we come up with evolution, but then ask the evolutionists, where did life come from? They're at a loss. It's the most important source of energy and heat on Earth. Without light, life on Earth would be impossible. Wind, water cycle, ocean waves would all cease if the Earth were to remain in utter darkness for very long. The Earth would quickly turn cold and all life would cease. That's why light was the vital starting point in the process of creation. God saw the light, that it was good. Creation was good because God is good. He declared light good because it was a reflection of himself. Isn't that amazing? We still don't know much about light, but it's there, praise God. And so I gave you that story of the man born blind. It's one of my favorites. But we could have taken each part of Genesis 1, we could have taken it apart. We could have studied Jesus being the living water. We could have studied him giving us the fruit of the Spirit or the bread of life. You can just go right on with all the I ams and find them in creation. It's really fun to do because God is so complicated. And what do we usually do is we read through it really fast and we miss half of it. So I thought maybe the best thing to do is to give you the man born blind. It's my favorite because it so describes what Jesus does and who he is. And it's in John chapter 9. Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. Now, who saw him? Not his disciples. Jesus saw him. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And that's still true today. We always want to blame somebody. You know, why did this happen? You know, but we forget, too, that accidents happen. And sometimes things happen that way because God is developing some great thing out of it, and we just don't know anything about it. So Jesus was really quick to tell him, neither the parents nor this man, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. And then Jesus goes on to say that he's only going to be here for a short time, and that he's the light of the world. And then when he said these things, he then took some dust, and he had it in his hand, and he spit in it, and then he made this little clay, just like he'd made Adam, and he put it on the man's eyes. And of course, my brain works that, okay, what did he do that for? Why didn't he just heal him so he could go on about his business? And the fun part about that is that Jesus had a lot of people he wanted to get a hold of. He wanted to get a hold of the Pharisees. He wanted to get a hold of the parents and the neighbors, plus the man. So he had a lot of work to do. Anyway, he tells the man to go wash at the pool of Siloam, and which he did, and then he came seeing. I just can't imagine something like that. How exciting. Do you think he skipped and jumped and danced around? And or did you just get old people and said, "Oh, that's what you look like"? I don't know. Yeah. Then he says, some of the people that are standing by says, "How did you get your eyes open?" And so he says, "Well, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go wash,' and I came seeing." Do you know where he is? No, I don't know where he is. And the man who was formerly blind was then taken to the Pharisees. Now it was the Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened the eyes. The Pharisees asked him again how he had received his sight. And so he told them. I wrote "boo" in here on my Bible. Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath." I mean, really? You've got somebody in front of you who just now is able to see, and you're worried about not keeping the Sabbath? Anyway, I get a little frustrated. Anyway, others said, "Well, how can a man who's a sinner do such signs?" Yeah, right. And so there's division among them. So they asked the man again, how do you open your eyes? And the man said, he is a prophet. So he's making progress now. He's gone from a man to a prophet. Because he's thinking something must be really amazing here besides the fact that he can see. The Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received a sight till they called the parents of him who had received a sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son, whom you say was born blind, and how does he now see? And I'm just so disturbed over these parents. Sorry. They just make me so unhappy. Because, you know, you hold a little baby in your arms, and that baby can't focus on you. There's nothing more tragic. And then to hear that your son now has eyes, well, they should have been having a party. They should have been rejoicing and jumping up and down and having a great time. But they were afraid of the Jews. Stupid people. They were afraid they're going to be put out of the synagogue. And so I stop right there and say, is there anything in my life that's more important than Jesus Christ? I have to ask, is my religion, is my pastor, is my Sunday school teacher, are my friends, my house, anything that I have, is it more important? Well, for these parents, it was their church membership. Watch it. Be careful. So anyway, they call this previous blind man to them again, and he says, give God the glory, we know this man's a sinner. And he answered, said, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know, but one thing I know, I was blind, now I see. And so they questioned him some more. He said, I told you already, you didn't listen, why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciple? That's cool. This blind guy is so good. I'm going to meet him in heaven. I'm going to say, that was a great comeback. Amen. Yep. And so they reviled him. Oh, that's just so awful. And then the man answered and said to them, why, this is a marvelous thing. Yeah, I guess. That you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it's been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who's been born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Amen. They answered him and said, you are completely born in sins, and you're teaching us. Oh, can't you just see the scene? Ugh. And they cast him out. Poor guy. Nah, not at all. So, but Jesus heard that he'd been cast out. This is why I love it, this story. And so Jesus went and found him. Isn't that so beautiful? And he said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking to you. Then he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. Praise God. That should be for all of us who have had our sins forgiven. Jesus says, for judgment I have come into the world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may be made blind. And of course, the Pharisees picked up on this. Are we blind also? Jesus said, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remains. And so, there's the story of the blind man. Isn't it a beautiful story? I can never get enough of it. So with that, I have a little story to give you. And I hope you can stay with me on this. It's just another way of looking at light. So scientists don't even know much about light. That's the first thing. And then the second thing is that we have an example of Jesus giving light to a man who had never seen. And then we have a story here. It's more up to date. And I just loved it and thought maybe you might too. So I'll just read it to you. His name is Lon. He was a good Jewish kid from a good Jewish family. He went to the synagogue every Sabbath, read the Torah fluently in Hebrew, It was bar mitzvah at age 13. He believed God existed, answered prayer, and one day would accept him into heaven based on his heritage. At the age of 13, he decided the synagogue was no longer, at the age of 15, he decided the synagogue was no longer relevant to his life, but drinking and girls were. So he gave his life over to having fun. He enrolled in the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill as a chemistry major, joined a fraternity that was 50% Jewish, and plunged into the party scene with gusto. The summer of 69, between his sophomore and junior years, he worked as a waiter in the Catskill Mountains. Since he was always up for a good time, he was in the vicinity, he went to the concert at Woodstock. While there, he got heavily into drugs. His experience with LSD and other psychedelics convinced him that he had found the real meaning of life. So when he returned to school, he encouraged 60% of his fraternity brothers to turn to drugs. He became one of the leading drug pushers on campus, obtaining the illegal substance from Amsterdam, then selling it anywhere and everywhere on campus. Because he never showed up for class, he was the only student to ever flunk honors chemistry. In fact, he stopped going to all of his classes because while taking LSD 3 or 4 times a week, he was convinced he didn't need to. His senior year, he was pictured in the yearbook sitting in a tree with 4 of his friends smoking dope. Can you imagine sending that home? Anyway, one day he was sitting on a wall with a friend in downtown Chapel Hill, totally tripped out on LSD when he made the observation that rather than his life getting better, it seemed to be getting worse. Instead of becoming more loving, kind, and gentle, he was getting more selfish, mean, and ugly. His friend listened to him, then turned to him with glazed eyes and replied, "Lon, maybe you're not getting worse. Maybe you're just getting honest with who you've been all the time." The casual offhand remark rocked Lon's world because he knew it was true. The drugs were unlocking and exposing his inner self as being immoral, unethical, and selfish, and he didn't like what he saw. He suddenly knew he needed help. Drugs were not the meaning of life, he thought they were. He quit taking drugs and began to look for meaning in religion. Lon plunged into Taoism, Confucianism, and Buddhism, seeking help for his internal problems. But in the same way cancer seems to grow more rapidly when exposed to oxygen, he found his friend had opened up his inner self, and the exposure caused the ugliness in his life to mushroom in size and scope. In desperation, he sought help from a local rabbi, but nothing in Orthodox Judaism could help or change his hurting soul. At that point, he acknowledged he had nothing, no answers, no resources with which to live life, so he decided to kill himself. He reasoned, "What's the point of living a life that is totally meaningless when you just die in the end? Why not just kill yourself now and get it over with?" But he was lazy and a procrastinator, so he put off killing himself. In the spring of 71, he was walking down the street with his dog, right in front of a van covered with scripture verses, mounted with loudspeakers that continually played hymns and manned by a freak who preached to those passing by as he handed out tracts about Jesus. Lon's dog got into a fight. As he pulled his dog away, he looked up into the man's eyes. They exchanged greetings, and Lon walked away. Several blocks down the street, Lon was suddenly struck by the awareness that he had seen what he was searching for in the eyes of that fanatical preacher. He had thought there was no really meaning to life, but he was convinced there was, and that man knew what it was. The preacher man appeared in town every Saturday. And every Saturday, Lon observed passerby spit on the man, curse him, crumple up his tracts, and throw them back in his face. Out of sympathy and out of an act of kindness, Lon took the tracts he was handed, but he never read them. 6 weeks later, Lon couldn't stand the misery anymore. He went to the man one Saturday and asked if he could talk to him sometime. The man readily agreed to talk to him that day. But Lon, suddenly frightened, rejected the offer, saying they would have to meet the next week. As he walked away, the man cupped his hands around his mouth and screamed at Lon, "You may not be here next week." Lon ran around the corner of the building, terrified and embarrassed to be yelled at on the street by the fanatical preacher. But like a knife in his spirit, he realized the preacher's words were true. He might not live to see next week. In fear, he lived each day so carefully. He took steps one at a time. He didn't walk under ladders, and he carefully looked both ways when he crossed the street. Lon decided what he needed was a Bible. Excuse me. He had never before seen or read one, so he went to a local bookstore. He was astounded how much they cost, and finally found a small one for $3, which was half of all the money he owned. He bought it, but when his fraternity brother ridiculed him for doing such a stupid thing as to spend half his money on a Bible, Lon took the Bible back. But as he returned it, he told God that if he was real, and if he was who he claimed to be, he would just have to give him a Bible to read. The following Saturday, Lon was waiting when the strangely painted van pulled into town and the preacher began to set up for another day in Chapel Hill. Lon sauntered over to him and said he was ready to hear the full sales pitch. The man opened up his Bible and for 2 hours explained who Jesus is and what it meant to know God personally through faith in him. Like a dry sponge soaking up water, Lon thirstily drank in every word. The man concluded by asking if he wanted to invite Jesus into his life. Lon didn't have the faintest idea what that meant, but he was sure he didn't want to do whatever it was, so he said no. The man responded, "Okay, but do you have a Bible to read?" When Lon shook his head, the man opened up the back of his van and pulled out a brand new Bible and handed it to Lon. When Lon refused it because he couldn't pay for it, the man insisted it was a free gift. As Lon accepted the gift, he remembered what he had said to God and became even more afraid because he seemed to be into something that was really getting serious. He took the Bible back to his room and began reading the Gospel of Matthew. He pored over the Sermon on the Mount 6 times before he could go on. Jesus seemed to have more to say in one sentence than all of his professors had said in an entire semester at school. When he read Jesus' words of invitation, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Lon knew he had found exactly what he'd been searching for. All of his life he had been looking for peace for his soul. Not knowing what to do, Lon got down on his knees and made a deal with God. I just love this. This was so me at one time. "God, I don't know if you're real, and this Jesus character is confusing. But," he said, "if I would come to him, he would give me peace and rest. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm willing to try you for a month. If during that month you can prove to me you can give me peace and rest, I'll give you the rest of my life. But for the next month, I'll do whatever you say. I want to give you the same shot I gave those other religions. But God, I want more than a warm, fuzzy feeling. I want real proof. So I'm going to lay it on the line. My dog has mange. I've been rubbing medicine into him for weeks, and it hasn't helped. And I'm going to quit giving him the medicine. If you heal my dog of mange, I'll know that you're real." Within 3 days, Lon's dog was healed of the mange. And Lon knew something how he had backed into the living God of the universe. 1 week later, he knew God had come into his life. He was filled with inner peace and joy, coupled with deep contrition for sin. 3 weeks later, he went back to the street preacher and told him what had happened. The man started to cry like a baby. Then he called for his wife to get out of the van. When he told her, she began to cry. They hugged Lon, then told him he needed to be baptized. Lon refused, explaining because he was a Jew, he couldn't go that far. But during the following week, he became convinced that if he had given his life to God, he had to go all the way in his commitment. So he went back to the preacher, and the next week was baptized in a little pond outside of Chapel Hill. Imagine the goldfish were surprised. The Creator must have stood back and surveyed the transformation of Lon's life from that of an empty, pleasure-seeking, drug-pushing, LSD-tripping college. Dropout to a man who went on to graduate from theological seminary and is now a full-time preacher of the gospel, filled with peace and joy. Now, God can fill the emptiness of planet Earth, and so it reflects his glory. If God can fill the emptiness of Lon's life, so Lon reflects his glory, he can fill the emptiness in your life, so you reflect his glory too. That precious light. That's why I had to stop at this point in our study of Genesis and get into light, because it created everything. It came into his life and it came into mine, and I trust it's come into your life. Jesus is only a prayer away. Did you see the very thing Jesus is, he also creates? He's the living water, he's the living light, he created all the plants, he's the bread of life. Can you see that as you move through Genesis? The resurrection power to bring it all to life. Jesus is on every page. Look for him. And if you've got it, write it down. Say, wow, there's the Lord. But the question is he in your heart? Well, let me tell you, he's just a prayer away. Father, we thank you that indeed you are just a prayer away, and you so want to magnify yourself in our lives. Lord, when so often it's our lack of faith, it's the walls that we put up that keeps you from working in our lives. Help us to remember this little story about the dog being healed of mange, of all things, and then the greater healing of Lon coming to faith. Now a pastor. What an amazing God you are. Indeed, you are the light of the world. Light that shines in on our darkness. Light that creates everything and makes everything grow. Light that illuminates our path, Lord, in paths of righteousness. Oh God, may we follow hard after you. Yes, we stumble. Yes, we sin. But we can get up and follow that light. I pray if there's anyone here today that needs to make that decision to follow hard after you, I pray before the day is out that, like Lon, that they will get alone with you, Lord, and confess that they want to be your child. They want you to come into their life. They want you to become their burden bearer, and that they will know for sure that you give peace and joy and new life. And the light of the world. Oh, what an amazing thing that is, Lord. What a great God you are. Bless us, Lord. We so need your blessing as we go on into further studies of Genesis. We need your spirit to illuminate us, because indeed we are so in the dark. So help us, Lord. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.